Earlier this month, Nelson lost one of its own. Marty Horsewell was born and raised in Nelson and became a prominent figure known in local politics for the start of several community organizations and a local opera. He passed away on November 9th at 76 years old. To remember Marty and his impact on the community he loved, reporter Keeley Bartlett spoke with former colleague and longtime friend Donna McDonald.
If I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word or song, if I can show somebody he is traveling wrong, then my living shall not be in vain.
My name is Donna McDonald, and I knew Marty Horsewell for almost 50 years. I guess in the community, I'm probably best known as a city councilor. I was on city council for 19 years. I met Marty way back in 1972. I was living in Vancouver and working on a project that I needed to do some research for in the Kootenays. And my husband at the time and Marty were both working for a federal government program called Opportunities for Youth. Marty worked in the Kootenays, that was his area, but he was had been in Vancouver for a meeting, and my husband said, you know, could you take Donna up to the Kootenays? And Marty said, of course I can do that. So that was my first but not my last ride in his blue and white Volkswagen van. He brought me up to Nelson, gave me a place to stay, showed me his town, introduced me to his people, and I just fell in love with Nelson. And within a few months, I was here. And, you know, Marty supported me through that move, helped me find a place to stay and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And how would you describe Marty to someone who's never met him?
Wow. There's a lot of words that could be applied to Marty. The first one that comes to mind really is generous. He was generous to a fault, and he was a loyal and kind friend. I knew that, you know, I could trust him to be there for me, whatever was happening in my life. So that was huge. Marty also most times had a twinkle in his eye and a story that he had to share. He was a great storyteller and had a memory like an elephant. And I don't know what we're going to do without him, because he could always remember those things that we had forgotten. He was really intelligent, and he was thoughtful, and he would read, and he would think. He was a bit of a recluse that way, but, you know, he had a very keen mind and wanted to understand history and politics. He was also a lover of music and of politics, and apparently at the end of high school, he really wanted to study music, but his parents thought he should do something a bit more practical. So he did research and found a university in Minnesota where he could do a double major in music and political science, and that's where he went. So that is kind of indicative of his life, that, you know, love of music and love of political work in the, you know, small P sense or the big P sense of, you know, just making the world a better place. He was really passionate about social justice and about the environment, you know, and he could get sometimes quite exercised in expressing his opinions on things. So I learned, you know, quite soon when to take a step back and not try to argue with him. But I guess in four or five words, I would say he was a good and honorable man.
What do you think that he's most known for here in Nelson?
Well, his leadership role in starting the Osprey Community Foundation in 2000, you know, was a really big contribution. That foundation now has $9 million in endowments just 20 years later, and it's a big contributor to our community health. And then in recent years, his work in the music community was really dominant in his life and really made him a beloved cultural figure. He had a beautiful tenor voice and was much in demand in choirs around town. He helped found the Amy Ferguson Institute, which focuses on vocal arts. He was also one of the founding members of Living Room Classics, which bring classical music performances to the Civic Theater. And then the most amazing one, he and some others, probably him mostly, had this great idea that there should be an opera commissioned in Nelson. And he was the producer for this and got most of the funding for it. So it was called Chaos, and it was, you know, mythical themes but brought forward into modern times as a treatment of climate change, in fact. And so this opera, the libretto was written locally, the score, the staging, the performances, everything was Kootenai-based, if not Nelson-based. It was a huge undertaking, very ambitious, and he pulled it off, and it was amazing. That Chaos didn't go as far as I think he had dreamed it might, but it did make its way out into the world, and we were so proud to have that, you know, happen in this small community of Nelson.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of seems like Marty has all of these different qualities and these different skills for the political sphere, the cultural aspect, that really tie together kind of what Nelson is all about. And he comes from a long line of Nelsonites. What do you think kept bringing him back to Nelson? And why do you think he was so invested in the community?
Well, I have to think that Nelson had a pretty firm hold on him from day one. He had a great time as a child in Nelson, and even though as a young man his passion for serving the world took him to work in South Sudan and Papua New Guinea, there was never any question that Nelson was home and that this was where he would come and settle and live and contribute. And why that was, I don't know. Maybe just like most of us, he was just hooked by the magic of this place. Where else would we go?
He was quite involved in work that would eventually transform into Nelson Cares. Can you talk a little bit about his background with that?
Yeah. So in the early 1970s, there was an NDP government in BC under Dave Barrett, and they had a lot of really great ideas, that government. But one of them was the idea that government grants shouldn't be doled out by bureaucrats in Victoria, but that money should flow through a locally elected group, which was to be called a community resource board, so that, you know, the decisions could be made locally based on local needs. So it got set up here, and Marty was involved. Unfortunately, then the government was not reelected, and in many places where these community resource boards had been set up around the province, that was kind of the end of them. They just died. But not in Nelson. It was reborn as a nonprofit social sector organization called the Nelson and District Community Resources Society. And Marty worked for them for some years, and he did everything from administration to teaching woodworking skills to people with developmental disabilities. He really was instrumental in keeping it alive. And this is where our paths crossed in this area. In the 1990s, the Community Resources Society was really struggling, and I was invited to come on board and try to rebuild it and revive it. So along with, you know, a number of other dedicated people, and we rebranded the society as Nelson Cares. And have they ever grown, and do they ever contribute a lot to our community? So it was a long legacy, went back to the early 70s, but it's such a strong organization now.
Mm-hmm. Right. And like you, Marty was quite involved in local politics. And can you tell us a little bit about his foray into politics? He started his own political party, the Nelson Civic Group, and then he became a city councillor, and he had a few other attempts at some other seats as well.
Yeah, the Nelson Civic Group, that was quite a long time ago, and that was an effort to kind of break the stranglehold that was on city politics at the time and try to introduce some more progressive ideas. It wasn't terribly successful, and in the end, their last attempt, they ran a slate of candidates, and the only one who was actually elected was Marty's dad, Jack, who really didn't have a political bone in his body, but just thought he should, you know, kind of be part of this. He got elected and was not very happy for the next few years. You know, Hipperson Hardware was his business, and he didn't really like mixing business and politics. But Marty himself ran for city council in 1989 and was elected, and then was reelected for a three-year term in 1990. So I was on council at that time, and it was so wonderful to sit around that table with someone who was really able to think and to think through issues from all sides, and yet who had really clear and strong values. You know, I learned a lot from him about how you make decisions. It's not a simple thing. It's a bit of work, and he really did that work. So I'm grateful for that teaching.
What are some of your favorite memories of Marty?
Back in the day, we made a number of trips to Ainsworth in his VW van. We'd all pile in, and Marty would crank up the music, and classical music, usually opera, and he'd be up front driving with his left hand and conducting the music with his right hand, and we'd all be singing along. But the best part was when we actually got to Ainsworth and we'd go back in the caves, and Marty would start singing Gregorian chants, and it was just amazing. That was back in the day when singing was allowed in the caves. But those were just really wonderful, wonderful times. Cooking is something else that Marty is quite renowned for. I remember during his French cuisine phase, where he'd spent hours on fancy cream sauces that took like 14 steps, and he'd present all his food to us as we sat at the table, and then Marty would disappear, and we'd all go, where's Marty? And then we'd just follow the snores and find him lying on the sofa having just a little rest. And we'd drag him back to the dinner table to eat with us. But he loved it, and he was so methodical and creative and careful in his food presentation. And even when he moved on with his wife Lena into more Asian meals, just made it for wonderful meals. He and Lena used to offer Asian feasts as fundraisers for different groups in the community. So I think a lot of people will remember those with great pleasure.
It certainly sounds like there's a lot that Marty was involved in and a lot to be remembered for. What do you think he would like to be remembered for?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I think he would probably chuckle at the question, actually. I don't think I could say what he would want to be remembered for, but I know that those of us who loved him would say that we'd remember him as a man who lived life fully, who made important contributions to the community and the world, and who loved his friends and family deeply, and who loved to sing.
And how can people celebrate Marty's life? Is there going to be a ceremony, or is there a place where they can maybe financially contribute?
Due to COVID, there won't be any large gatherings now, but I am hoping that there will be one in the summer, because so many people in the community have been touched by him in one way or another, and I think it would be really special to gather together and share those stories and celebrate him. In the meantime, his family has asked that people, if they wish, can make donations to the Osprey Community Foundation in honor of him, in particular to the Community Fund, which is just this broad, non-designated fund that can be used as needed.
Thank you so much for sharing your memories with him, Donna.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity.
If I can help somebody as I pass along, then my living shall not be in vain.
That music with the piece was recorded way back in 1957, and that was, in fact, Marty Horswell at the age of 13 years old when he was a soprano. He was accompanied by Amy Ferguson on the song If I Can Help Somebody. Thank you to the Horswell family for providing those recordings. Marty Horswell was a Nelsonite well known for his work in local politics, advocacy, and music. He passed away at 76 years old on November 9th.